Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, an Italian-American podcast, and I am your very proud host, Frankie D. And today is episode number 43, and we can always be heard at ItalianAmericanLife.com, iTunes, Stitcher, your podcast app. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and connect with us on LinkedIn. My guest today is CJ Martello, who writes an article in the Fra Noi, which is the Chicagoland Italian-American magazine. And the name of his article is Petals from Roseland. CJ, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Frankie D. I appreciate having me here to interview.
And I understand that from your column, you are in the process of writing a book. Well, actually, you wrote the book, but you're in the process of developing it. So we'll get into that later. Tell me about your background, your family's Italian background.
I grew up out south on the south side of Chicago in Roseland in St. Anthony of Padua Parish, grade school. And then after grade school, high school, and I actually came to Casa Italia because it was the Sacred Heart Seminary at the time. And I spent a year and a half here. And then went to St. Willibrord Catholic High School out south.
Okay, so Roseland is a neighborhood in Chicago, correct?
Right,
on the south side. How far south is that?
It's 111th south, and 111th to go south from there. And it actually is on some maps show that it starts at around 103rd Street.
And how far east?
It goes as far east as the expressway, which is the Bishop Ford Freeway now. And the Roseland was a community. It was a Dutch community, began in 1849 by Dutch settlers. And the Italian population grew by coming to seek jobs at Pullman, Palace Car Company, in the 1920s.
So the Pullman is another neighborhood near Roseland.
Right. And Pullman is actually a town that was started by George Pullman. He built his own town for his railroad workers because he felt that having a good place to live would make them better people and in turn better workers for his company.
I agree with him, yes.
And then the Italians actually settled in an area a few blocks outside of Pullman in an area called Kensington, on the street of Kensington, which was their shopping area, like Pilsen would be.
Okay. And tell me about your parents. What part of Italy are they from?
My parents are from the Veneto region up in northern Italy. My mom is actually from Rosso and my dad from Roana and Mezzosalva, that whole area up in northern Italy at the Altopiano. And they came to America when they were in their 20s. And my dad was born in 1900, my mom in 1904.
And did you ever go to Italy?
Yeah, I've been to Italy twice. Once with my son, who's a Navy commander, in 2009. We just went to Rome. But in 2015, when I retired, I treated myself to a nice trip with the Veniti nel Mondo. We had a great time. My Italian came back to me in 2 days. I wrote a poem for our Guida. It was great.
Were you able to go to your parents' towns?
Not this time.
You've never been there to their
towns? No, I haven't made it up to Roana and Mezzosalva. But my son is stationed in Italy with the Navy for 3 years. He's in Naples.
When did he start that tour?
So he's been there a year and a half, and so next year I'm planning to visit him and then go up north.
And go to the towns?
Correct.
I'm sure, I would assume you would want to go there to see where your parents were from.
Oh, definitely.
Well, that's awesome. Great, great. And I take it you enjoy Italy? And
Italy's got a lot of beauty you can't beat, you know. And it's great to go and see things you've heard about it, being Italian, things you've heard about your entire life, and then you're finally getting to see them all. You know, St. Anthony of Padua Cathedral, the Basilica, you know, St. Francis of Assisi's town, all the different towns like Lucca and Siena. Beautiful.
Speaking of St. Anthony's Church here in Chicago, so now that was the church you were raised at, correct?
Correct.
And that was a very populated Italian church.
Oh, it was totally Italian.
I'm assuming it might have even been built for the Italians.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It started with that storefront church, and they finally built in 1908. They built a brand new church, and they had that for many years. And then in 1961, they dedicated the new church. And that was the year I graduated grade school, so it was the last year of the old church.
Did you go to St. Anthony's school as
right.
well?
I went to St. Anthony's grade school.
Were you an altar boy there, I'm assuming?
Of course.
Okay,
of course.
So what was it like? Tell me about your childhood and that area and
it's funny
church.
Because, you know, it was like, what do you mean you don't speak another language? because we all spoke English and Italian. So when we met somebody else during the summer months, you met all the kids from the other schools, public schools and all, and they only spoke one language. It's like, oh, but it was us and the Americans.
And what I'm assuming as well, like, from what you told me already, it was a high population of Northern Italians in this that settled in this area.
Yeah, and it was interesting because it was a mix. There were Northern and Southern.
Oh, there were.
Yeah, and because everybody worked at the Pullman Company or Sherwin-Williams.
Sherwin-Williams, the paint company.
We cover the earth.
Oh, that was there as
They're
well.
Still there. Yes.
So it was a good experience, a good childhood.
Oh, yeah, very good. And that gave me the basis for my column in my book. Because our childhood in Roseland was so so great for us that we always look back, you know, because as time goes on, went on, the neighborhood changed, and our memories are still good as they were before, you know, and we still have we have reunions and get-togethers, you know.
But the neighborhoods we've been discussing, they have changed, correct?
Oh, yes, the neighborhoods have changed.
Is the church still there, St. Anthony's?
Oh, yes, the church is still there. As a matter of fact, I met my future wife in Roseland. Her family moved north, so I moved north for 41 years. Began writing the column, coming back out, going back out south often to get information and different organizations. And then I eventually moved back to Roseland and Kensington, Pullman. I have a house in Pullman. And I do the Italian reading at 8:30 Mass. I do the second reading in Italian at 8:30 Mass on Sundays.
Is there an Italian Mass, or you just do the reading in Italian?
I do the reading in Italian, because we are now 95% Latino.
I see.
And we have a number of Italians that come back for Mass.
Oh, they do come back.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Well, good, good. All right, so the column. How did you get started with the column in the Franoi?
Well, Mario Avignone began the column, and he actually titled it, Petals from Roseland. And he got up in years, and so... for the last 5 years of his life that he was writing the column, they actually reprinted old columns.
And what did he write about?
And he wrote about Roseland from the war period on. Father Armando Perini, who had found it, was one of the founders of Casa Italia, Sacred Heart Seminary. He actually decided he wanted to get a newspaper going about the Italian communities and because due to the war and everyone coming home from the war. So he asked Mario Avignone to go ahead and write the column. So he began the Petals from Roseland column. And he wrote about the people that had been in service, because he had also been in service. Matter of fact, in the Italian-American Veterans Museum here at Casa Italia, there's a whole display of his notaria. And actually, there's displays of four veterans from the Roseland neighborhood and St. Anthony's Parish, including Fred Olivi, who was a bomber on the boxcar that bombed Nagasaki.
And do you know when this column started, more or less?
The column started in 1946 after he returned from service.
In 1946?
Yeah.
So the Franoi goes that far back?
Yeah, he wrote it until he turned 90. They were using columns, and then they asked me to step on board and take it over.
So you've been writing it since what year?
2008.
2008. So for 11 years you've been writing it. Okay, so what do you write about? Is it all about... the past? I mean, is there anything about current or?
Well, here's the thing. He wrote about what was going on in his lifetime with the veterans and all. And that's when St. Anthony was very active and vibrant Italian community. So when I came tasked with writing it, I joined all these organizations that had former St. Anthony parishioners and people who used to live in Roseland. And so I began writing about the church and its carnival and different feasts. And then I started throwing in current events, what was going on with the parish and what was going on with the neighborhood where everyone grew up in Pullman and Roseland in its entirety. And as a result of that, I've got a wider audience because the people that Mario wrote for, and he passed away when he was 95. So the people he wrote for have mostly gone on, the seniors. And now there's a whole another group. As a matter of fact, due to my column, myself and two other fellows, Paul Petratus and Dan Bovino, began the Facebook page, Roseland Roundtable.
Oh, you're on Facebook too?
Oh, yeah. We got more people.
Very good.
Into it. And matter of fact, Facebook told Dan Bovino that Roseland Roundtable was too large, and if he didn't change the name, he'd have to start advertising.
So too large, meaning too many followers?
Too many followers.
Wow. So this is all people that grew up, lived in.
All these people like lived up in around St. Anthony's and Roseland and the greater Roseland area and Pullman.
So you helped to keep this
oh, yeah.
story alive?
Oh, yeah. That's the thing that it sparked people. And now there's reunions, high school, Fanger High School reunions, Roseland picnic every year. And in Pullman, they have an annual picnic on the first Saturday in August, Pullman Family Reunion Picnic. So all these things are ongoing. And my column had a part in it because it informs people of what's currently going on in these activities and all these areas. And like recently, we had our former department store, Gately's People Store, caught fire. The building did. And there were only three small stores located in the building. But it was very sentimental for many of the Roselandites because when we grew up, that's where we shopped. A number of my columns concerned themselves with the Gately's People Store, shopping in the grocery store, where you went when you went with your parents, and like they had a donut machine, a train that went around and dipped the donuts until they were cooked. You know, they had an x-ray machine for your foot. You put your foot on there and it x-rayed your foot. So all these things sit on people's memories. And their stories, it was one of the big high school student employers. So all these people that met while I worked at Gately's and all have a story.
I mentioned to a friend about we were going to be doing this interview, and I'm not going to lie, I'm a Northsider. I really don't know much about these areas. And he informed me that that area back in the day was like a major shopping hub.
Oh, yeah. Gately's was second only to Marshall Field. And people came from Indiana to shop there, and from the suburbs at the time where there was nothing.
Was there more than one store, Gately's?
No, one store until the 90s when the neighborhood changed. In 1984, they opened another store in Orland and or Tinley. And that store was there from 84 to 91, I believe. And that's when they closed that store.
Are they still open, the original?
No. The original is the one that was empty and caught fire a month ago.
Oh, so, no one hurt, though.
No, it was middle of the night, empty sort of thing. But I posted numerous pictures. And one big thing we did that was done was saving the sign that said Gately's People Store. Foot and a half tall sign. It was neon sign.
And you were able to save it?
It was saved, yes. It was saved, and it's at the Rapid Construction Company. And until further notice, when they decide what to do with it.
Very nice. Well, good. So tell me, how did you come to want to write this book, and what does the book entail?
Well, so many people have moved out of Chicago and out of Illinois, different countries even, Italy and out to Arizona and California, and they love the column when someone shows it to them and tells them about it. They love going online and reading old columns. So to have something to pass along in their family or give as gifts to their family, and people are always saying, when are you going to do a book on Roseland? When are you going to do a book on Kensington? So I finally decided to go ahead and do it, and I compiled the best of 10 years, considering readers' comments and what columns they've appreciated and discussed most. So that's what the book is compiled of, and it'll probably be between 250 and 300 pages.
And what I understand you are in the process of actually making the book. Tell me about that.
I've actually put the book together as a working copy, and we just recently, contacted a friend of mine, who's a publisher, and Sharon Woodhouse with Lake Claremont Press. And she actually is now in the consulting business. So she and I are working together. We put my book on a Kickstarter program. And Kickstarter, what it is the funding page for for-profit items. GoFundMe is for nonprofits. Kickstarter is if you have a project that requires funding. So we're trying to raise $6,000 because that's what it will cost approximately for the complete process of printing the book and editing it, designing it, and then publishing the book itself. So for 600 copies, 500 to 600 copies, we consider $6,000 would be our goal. And so we've been at it for a little over 3 weeks. And right now we're at $1,200.
Oh, that's very encouraging. That's a lot so quickly.
Seeking more funding.
Okay, so how does one donate to this?
If you're a computer literate, you can go online to Kickstarter, look for Project Petals from Roseland, and right there it'll tell you how to contribute.
And if you're not
computer literate, You can go online. You can have someone go online and get my address, which is 11403 South St. Lawrence, Chicago, Illinois, 60628. And you could send me a check for the amount. The minimum amount is $25, which will get you one book when they are published.
Made out to?
Made out to CJ Martello.
Okay, correct. Great. Tell me about your time as a veteran.
Oh, I was in. I was drafted in 1966. I always say I did well enough in college to get drafted. I just happen to have the correct number to be drafted. But I spent 1967 in Vietnam, 2 years in the service. And when I came back from service, I asked to be assigned to a place in California, and they put me in the desert 50 miles from Reno, Nevada.
And you wanted to be in that type of atmosphere?
No, I wanted to be in San Diego.
Oh.
But they put me in the desert, which was all right. It worked out because one of my brothers came out there for a visit and stayed for 90 days temporary work assignment. So we had a great time. And then after I was released from the service, I got a job as a bank teller at United California Bank in the town of Paradise, California.
Paradise, California.
Which had recently been in the news because the town burned out. So, yeah. So, in that campfire, they called it.
Which branch of the service were you in?
I was in the U.S. Army.
The Army. And you said you spent 1 year in Vietnam.
1 year in Vietnam.
An entire year.
Right. And my job description was company clerk.
So, and what were the conditions like that particular
I was up
year?
In the Central Highlands, and I was company clerk for an artillery company, and so we were in the backfield. And when we got there, they said, oh, don't worry. We haven't been attacked. We've been here 3 months. And they set up two artillery companies. And the thing with artillery companies is you're the headquarters and the strategic part, but the guns actually go out in the field. So we set up our camp, and oh, don't worry about it. So there were three artillery camps there. And it took 3 months, and we were attacked. So then we built our fortifications up with sandbags and whatnot. So we were attacked three more times. I was there for the big Tet Offensive in 1968 before I came home.
Wow. Well, thank you for your service,
you.
Obviously. And you know what? This is a great it's a great project, but it's a great article that you write because we as I always say, we have to keep our things from the past. We have to keep the stories alive because if they're not alive, if they're not written down, they're not on a video, they have a chance to die.
That's why I'm doing my book because as we're getting older, we forget things. And the way I see it in consideration after all these years of writing the column is if something is not brought up in conversation, it's not mentioned. So I say you should have a small piece of paper and a pencil or a pen handy. And when a thought comes to you, just write down a couple sentences. And next time you look at that piece of paper, the whole story's in your mind. But you don't bring these things up. And this is when we talk to our parents or grandparents. Unless we bring up the conversation, which may have nothing to do with what's going on immediately, they're not going to bring it up because to them, it's just old history.
Absolutely.
Not for us. It's relative to who we are.
For sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. And what's your future intentions with the column? You're going to keep doing it,
assume? Well, my column now, because Pullman has become a national monument, Pullman National Monument, and the National Park Service actually owns the administration building, clock tower. February 19th of 2015, President Obama declared Pullman to be the part of the national park, the national monument. So we have park rangers. We have a visitor center in Pullman that presently houses the rangers along with the visitor center. But they are actually redoing the clock tower administration building from the Pullman companies. And within the next 5 years, it'll be completely redone. Within the next 2 years, it'll be done in so far as being used, the building will be used for exhibition, for display after classes, so and offices. So it's quite a bit of progress being made on that front. And we have a new project in Pullman, the Pullman Art Space, Art Lofts, which are going to be 38 low-income work-live space for artists.
Oh, very nice.
So there's progress in Pullman, along with the fact that we have houses that are 135 years old. It's like my house was built in 1889. So I give tours of Pullman, and that's one of the things, the pleasure of living in Pullman, to take people and tell them all about the history of Pullman. Because people have even asked, Do people actually live in this, or is this just the museum, the whole town?
Well, I have to come because I've never been to that oh, yeah. area.
I'm sure you'd love it.
I would love to come, yes. Well, mm-hmm. CJ, thanks for your time, and thank you for your article every month and, oh, yeah. and the book and keeping things going. Okay,
I appreciate this opportunity because that is the whole purpose, keep things going, keep the memories alive.
And if you want to read the article, grab Fran Noy every month. And also, if you would like to contribute, give us one last time the Kickstarter.
Yeah, Kickstarter, the name is Petals from Roseland, is the name of the project. Go right on there and just follow the prompts and we'll tell you what to do.
Excellent. Thank Great. You. Well, thank you for your time, CJ.
Oh, thank you. Right,
and as we always end the show on Keeping It Real with Frankie D, stay strong, stay sharp, and stay Italian. And everyone have a great Italian-American day.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes.
He had high hopes.
He had high apple pie in the sky hopes. So anytime you're feeling bad, instead of feeling sad, just remember that ram. Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam. Problem curve.
Oops,